Okay, tune into that, another terrific CGLO programming, which I will shamelessly plug here in the morning as we go along during the week. I'd love to do it. I want to plug the show that's actually coming up after this. It's Liberty in Exile with Yael Osowski. And good morning, Yael.
Oh, good morning, Carl. How are you doing this morning?
I'm actually pretty good for a change. I wanted to know, what did you think of how the healthcare debate south of the border played out?
Well, how it was framed, that was despicable.
No, actually.
Or how it actually played out.
How it just generally played out. Because you know what? I figured I just don't want to see how it was framed to go over it again. Because we did.
Yeah,
go, we
no,
did,
I understand. Myself, I take the view of the early Dennis Kucinich, whereas this is going to guarantee over $30 billion for the new insurance corporations, right? So I don't see it as beneficial. I don't think it's a good idea.
And yet, okay, with that money spent, mm-hmm. you will see 31 million more Americans with access to medical care, and they will prevent people from being kicked off insurance rolls, which to me is, well, that's a no-brainer.
Well, see, the whole thing about it is they say it's going to bring down costs, but what you're doing is you're curbing business because you're saying you're not allowed for, what is it, not to have the conditions before
the pre-existing conditions
not allowed to kick people off, not allowed to do this. That is going to drive up prices because you're going to have to take on a lot more sickly people.
Well,
that's economics,
but you do create a larger pool. So in that larger pool of people who, which is one of the reasons they wanted to make sure that everybody got into the pool, mm-hmm. right, you're also going to have a lot of young healthy people in that pool, people who wouldn't ordinarily have medical care. Or who wouldn't rush out to get themselves insurance programs. So they will be in that pool as well. So will you necessarily drive up prices? Because like I say, all of a sudden,
I do believe so,
you have a larger pool. Now also, when Americans decide that they want to change jobs, they don't lose their health care plans. So all of a sudden, when you want to start a new business, that's not a consideration any longer. That's the idea. Mm-hmm. Now, I realize that there are holes aplenty in this particular bill because of the way mm-hmm. they went about putting it together, trying to get the Republicans on board, and they compromise, and then they compromise the compromise, and so forth. But they have the beginnings of something that could eventually work out to be, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly, of course, I'm philosophically opposed to it, but I would have rather that they adopted what we have here in Canada right away.
The single payer.
Yes, I would have rather it gone 100% to the single payer than this, because this is corporatism once again, because you have these privatized interests who concentrate this power and are going to have a grip. They're going to control the market once again. Market manipulation.
You know, I can't argue your point. The very day after the vote came in, the stock for insurance companies
what?
Right straight up. And indeed, but like I say, it seems to me the start of something. I think that if they do go to a public option, which apparently is still on the table on some level, and might happen after the elections this year in November, then you all of a sudden you force the insurance companies to compete with these various pools that are out there, and that might keep mm-hmm. costs from rising. They actually say in the second decade that they expect it to save $1 trillion in terms of costs on health insurance, on health care.
Yeah, any of these things, I'm not really sure. I'm not even sure the federal government should be doing that. I would rather the states do it, like Hawaii does, like Massachusetts does, like actually the city of San Francisco does, and they do a pretty good job.
They actually, in all three cases, you're right, they do a very good job.
And that's because it's state-run. It's the state that chose to do that. They have their own pool of money. I mean, they're not covering millions upon millions of people in all spans, and you don't have the money to collect because the federal government, I mean, they have the federal income tax and they'll take some of that Social Security, but that's all the money they have.
Yeah, and of course, yeah, it becomes cumbersome.
Yes.
Like all bureaucracies generally do, and mm-hmm. inefficient, and Yeah, your point's
well. That's like here in Canada. That's the example. Is the provinces? They're the ones who run the healthcare system, though we do take federal funds.
Yeah,
right. That's how we apply to the five national principles.
Yeah. So for me though, out of the whole thing, what really made me happy about it most was looking at it from looking at it, the rhetoric, you say the way it was framed, which you quickly jump to say, well, it's reprehensible, and it doesn't represent you, and I know it doesn't. And I know, you know what? I know it doesn't represent, I would say, 80% of Americans. It really does. And yeah. I can clearly see that. I've never had a problem, an incident with an American when I was south of the border, even with people that I disagreed with on, completely. We were at polar opposites. So, no, I don't believe that that's how it goes. And somehow I think you have to find a way around that framing to marginalize it, to laugh at it. You can't completely ignore it when, there are threats made. But, it really is time to just marginalize those people.
Yeah, I understand that. But it was a little ridiculous how it played out in the media, where on one side you have calls of socialized medicine, when if they actually look at it, there's no way this is socialized medicine, not at all. And then on the other side, where this is the safe haven, this is a gift from God. NPR just talked about this all day long. They said everyone's going to be covered, not one person is going to be sick or die anymore.
And yeah, again, I have to agree with you. There's
two extremes.
The two extremes, and neither, of course, are covering what's going on. But what I did see, though, in the long run, is because of the rancor in the debate and the divisive nature of the debate, that it was going to cost the Republicans votes in the short run. Mm-hmm. And in the long run, that they were going to have to look at what it is they're doing and go back to policy, actual conservative policy. Yeah. And, I argue for the liberal side all the time, but I'll also argue that conservatism has a noble place in Western democracies. There are times when you should slow the whole thing down. Caution and study should be, especially in a world where change is so rapid. We really need to look at what we have available to us and what we're doing. And so, yeah, there's nothing wrong with conservatism. And I think at some point they're going to have to actually become conservatives again, which will allow the Democrats
to cut spending. They have to.
And it'll allow the Democrats to actually be a little more liberal. And so from my point of view, it's Simon Says, everyone take a giant step to the left.
Well, there you go. That falls in your favor, doesn't it there, Carl?
Well, it to me, in terms of the dialogue and where the as far as civics go, yeah, that would make me a little bit happier. Yeah. I mean, these are arguments for the most part that we've been having since I was a kid, and they were settled a long time ago. You know what I mean? The United States, they're still arguing about abortion language. 60% of Americans are for Roe. You can make all the arguments you want about baby killers. It's nonsense. We're talking about zygotes. We're talking about cells. I mean, it makes no sense.
It's a non-issue. It's something that gets people heated.
But it should be a non-issue.
It has no base.
And these arguments should be old at this point. We should have moved on to other, more salient issues, because the 21st century, does await us, and there are lots of problems that actually need solving, that actually need looking at.
Mm-hmm.
And anyhow, it made me happy. Do you want to tell the listeners what you have on your show before I play a tune to play out here?
Well, goodness. Liberty in Exile. I'm actually going to cover the health debate a little more. I'll take it from my angle here. As I told Carl earlier, I see the bad side of it. I see it's going down a route that we're not going to like here in the future. I wish it went either one way or another, but what can we do? I'll talk about that. I'll talk about the wars, the police state right now, up mounting in Canada. Ottawa right now, they're catching people and fining people for doing sketches and taking pictures of Parliament and security buildings.
Ooh.
The police state is coming to you very
soon.
Wow.
Yeah, I get that feeling all the time, actually. It makes me very uncomfortable. Listen, that's going to wrap up our week here at New Media and Politics. We want to thank you for listening. We're here Monday through Friday, 8 to 10. And like I said, we're going to lighten it up next week. So tune in. There'll be a lot more comedy and a lot less attention to the morons, the haters, those blinded by ideology. We're interested in having a little fun here in life.